Oh, hi, Jesus.
Craig.
Hi, Craig.
Hi, Craig.
Hi, Craig.
Hi, Craig.
Craig, cool. My man.
My man, Craig.
Craig has only disappointed us once, right, Sin?
Twice,
I guess. Oof. I thought I only remember.
Let's
once.
Not go for the hat trick tonight.
Maybe one. Maybe just the one. We had to re-record one full episode.
Good luck scheduling that. This is difficult enough.
Yeah, well, and we should have known better. I mean, he did give some error in the channel that I ignored, so I should have known better to stop talking at that point and check.
We should have known better than to cheat a friend. This guilty feeling got no rhythm.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 44 of the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our love of the game. We bring on different guests and communities to learn about them, their experiences in Destiny, and discuss other topics. Your hosts, as always, are Kingsley Mack and Sin. Sin, how are you doing this evening?
Magical as always, sir. How about you?
I'm doing great, and glad to have you here, and I'm glad to have...
That is a lie.
We have a full house tonight, Sin. We just need to focus on them.
We do.
we're very happy. We had actually a suggestion, and we want to thank Freddie Go Boom in our Discord that he mentioned bringing on this lovely group of folks here. They are
that's who it was.
Yeah, Freddie Go Boom, and he introduced me to the artists that have put together a multi-genre cover of the original D1 music called Geomantic. And we want to welcome to the show this evening. We have three members. We have Paul.
Alex.
No, okay. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't have my notes in front of me.
That guy with the thing who did the stuff.
See, I'm just trying to make you guys feel comfortable here.
Yeah.
Don't worry about me.
So it's Atlix.
Yeah.
And Blind in Paulo.
Yes.
Yep.
Welcome.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
Appreciate
you for
it.
Having
Thank
us.
You. Thank you.
Well, let's just kind of go down. We kind of just want to like introduce each of you one at a time, and you can tell us a little bit about kind of your history of dealing with being artistic or music, and what kind of got you into that line of work, and that, you know, just kind of a brief introduction of what got you into Destiny and doing music with Destiny. And then, of course, we'll go into a discussion a little bit later about the actual main topic of the album Geomantic. So let's start with Atlix, also known as Owen Spence. Thank you for joining us tonight. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you. yeah, I have wanted to do music in some form or fashion since I was 9 years old. That Christmas, we got an Xbox 360 with a copy of Halo. And everyone knows legendary soundtrack, and it made me want to become a musician. And so, in sixth or seventh grade, I started writing some pieces for concert band because I was in the concert band at school. And fast forward several years later, I had to leave school, but I still kept going with music. And yeah, so in my spare time, I just love doing massive projects like this.
Ooh, what did you play in concert band?
I actually play several brass instruments. I play trombone, euphonium, and now I play French horn and a variety of bugles, actually. I collect different bugle models. So I've got like a two-valve soprano, I've got a single-valve tenor, I've owned just a G natural bugle before, and several other ones.
Wow, that's excellent. Wait, you know way more about bugles than I do. I was in... I did concert band and marching band and jazz band in high school myself. And
oh, yeah.
I was in the woodwinds, clarinet, and...
Yeah, see, so So you know what a euphonium is, right?
Because
I'm sure no one else in the audience will.
So one of you all mentioned right before we started something about dad jokes. I had the perfect dad joke. So Bugles, you know those tasty, I really wouldn't call them tasty, but those corn snacks that you can get there in the shape of these little horns or bugles?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or Dunce Cap.
Yes. Do that with easy cheese whiz. You fill it up like a little ice cream cone. I was thinking about that the whole time you were talking about it.
Oh,
but continue. Well,
I feel nauseated now.
This is the type of podcast you have.
How could you say such a curse sentence? I'm sitting here talking about the cool instruments that people play taps on at funerals, or like the original marching shows, like the Blue Devils and whatnot, and you just had to utter those words. I'm truly offended.
This
was the most short-lived podcast episode ever. Now, apparently,
yeah.
I will sit in my corner from here on out.
Since the comedic element, and I try to keep it on track, and then I forget the notes. No, but tell me real briefly too. How did you first hear about Destiny or get into the game of Destiny?
Like I said, I was a huge fan of Halo, and I remember in the week leading up to the original like Destiny reveal Vidoc, hearing stuff about it, and I actually watched that Vidoc, like the Pathways Out of Darkness one, where like they first revealed Destiny in that video. I actually watched that within an hour of that coming out. So I've been here since the very beginning, and so I have just always loved the game, and you know, I have 5,000 hours in the first Destiny 1 game, so I would sure hope I enjoy it.
Or someone's forcing you to play.
Oh no! Like I said, I had to leave school for medical reasons, and I couldn't really go anywhere also for medical reasons. So I just play Destiny all day, every day.
That works. We'll allow it.
Yeah.
Well, great. Thanks to hear, and we'll definitely be talking more in a minute here. Let's go on to Paulo Clayton. How are you doing, man?
I am doing fabulous. Thanks for having me.
Yourself.
Me? I'm probably the at least of the Geomantic team, I'm likely the eldest. I will turn 40 this year, so for me, my initial exposure to any kind of video game stuff was the good old Atari 400, if anyone remembers that thing. Oh, we're old school right there. And minor 2049er. But I came from a very musical family. My parents met at Westminster Choir College in Princeton, for Pete's sake, so it's pretty much something that's been in the family for years. Everyone in the family plays and sings something, or sings and plays something. For me, it was starting out on piano and then getting interested in drums and then guitars and then bass and trying to figure out as many different instruments as I could. I did play saxophone for a number of years. I did the whole jazz band thing, was in marching band in high school and college, but then was primarily doing vocals. I wanted to be a high school choir director. Realized at the end of my senior year of college at Florida State, I didn't actually want to be a high school choir director. But in the midst of that, I was, it's like, well, here I am. Yeah. But in the midst of all that, I was also doing a little bit of touring, some writing. I was playing in a bunch of bands, and I actually was also working at a church. My full-time job, actually, I'm a worship pastor at a church in Central Florida, and I get to do other fun musical stuff along the side of it. So I stepped out of doing the whole education aspect and continued on working in a church and working with our band members and volunteers and doing coaching and getting to do audio production. I'm getting to do what I've always wanted to do and the thing that I really feel like I did well, because you know, I've got a bit of a technical mindset, but tend to approach that more in the creative aspect with music from the technical side, repairing equipment, but also really digging into the nuts and bolts of how music and songs are constructed and formed. I've got a producer mindset. I love to do engineering, music production engineering and recording. You know, like we were talking earlier, anytime Owen is like, I need something to sound better, I'm just going to send it to Paulo, and I do my best to make it sound good. as far as getting into the Destiny world, I also got into Halo, but for me it was as a college student and being horrendously awful whenever we'd get a group of guys together, connect the Xboxes together, and do one-on-one PvP. I'm horrible at console PvP. I was always a keyboard and mouse PvP guy. But ended up getting a PS4 and kept hearing about this Destiny 2 game. I was familiar with Destiny 1-ish, like I knew it was something that existed, but getting into D2 and not knowing anything about what the heck I was doing and how the game worked at all for about the first 6 months I was playing it, 4 to 6 months. And then discovering the Reddit page and all those groups, and then by extension with that, meeting Owen, and then by extension meeting Landon, Embline, and then there's the other guys I haven't had a chance to meet yet, the other three guys that are part of the project that I haven't had a chance to chat with yet. But it's been really cool how this game has just brought this community of peeps together.
Yeah, that is true about bringing people together. And I do want to talk a little bit more about how you guys all met. And another interesting thing you mentioned, I've heard from some other people too, is people that are in the church podcasting scene, you know, like you said, minister recording, tend to, I guess that's an area where you've been doing podcasting for a while. So I tend to know people that do that, that are good at podcasting. It's an area that I guess you have a lot of experience there, as opposed to us schmoes like Sin and I that just are doing this for fun. And we may not sound as professional, but no, that's excellent that hearing about your history and the experience that you have there.
Thank you.
Well, great. And then that brings us on to Embline. Did I say that correct?
You did.
Well AKA done. AKA Landon. How are you doing, man? Tell us about yourself.
I'm doing good. I also had musical background, you know, did band in school. But I was always more interested in synthesis and synths as opposed to, you know, the traditional classical instruments. So that's kind of where I've specialized over the years. As far as Destiny goes, you know, I was a Halo guy. So just keeping tabs on Bungie, you know, friends, developers, stuff like that. When Destiny eventually, you know, came out into the public eye, I was hooked. You know, aesthetically, it's one of the coolest vibes, I guess, that any game gives off. Just like the mixture of sci-fi and fantasy, and you know, the underlying foundation of that world really gives off just good energy. So I've been in for a while. I have a very similar story to these guys. But as far as music in Destiny goes, always been a fan of the Halo soundtrack. And Destiny kind of almost like advanced that palette. Like it's a much more classical soundtrack in some regards. And so that was a bit of an exploration for me because I didn't really listen to classical music before, you know, video games. But, you know, along the way, kind of exploring that, I've run into Owen, got to run into Paulo, got to run into lots of other people. So I completely agree with the whole bringing people together thing.
Yeah. Well, thanks. No, that's excellent. We thank for introducing you guys, and we will have a great discussion this evening. I mean, we could talk more about Destiny if it comes up, but we really kind of just wanted to first talk about the album that has been released called Geomantic. And I agree, the music in Destiny is excellent, and it brings a lot of, in a way, styles, emotions, feelings. Some people gravitate towards, like you said, the classical side. My wife really likes in D2 the song Journey by the Kronos Quartet. I really like that one also. Such a good song. And then there's other parts where, like, you're at the end of D1 and you have the Sepix, you know, remix with the kind of the guitar heavy sounding track. And that's always fun.
Right? Real quick thing, it's good that you bring up the Sepix Redux track. Because you know, we have more metal on Geomantic than anything else. And part of the reason for that is just you know, like people, I see a lot of people in the subreddit be like, oh my God, I love this Sepix track. I wish they would do more stuff like this. And I'm like, hey, there's a demand here. We could do something with this.
There is, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if any of you have watched The Witcher, but also that metal remix of The Witcher song is very popular right now. And I'm not even really, I wouldn't call myself like a metal listening person, but these remix of songs that I'm familiar with are actually very appealing to me when I hear them in different styles. So take that
for
what it's
worth. It's a genre that just, for whatever reason, seems to lend itself really well to executing really cool covers, and a lot of the time the guys that are playing metal stuff are extremely proficient on the instrumentation, so they can do for one thing they're super accurate to what the melodies are, and then they can take them and do these phenomenally extravagant things with the melodies and with riffs and everything like that, and it just goes really just almost over the top, but in a really, really good way, in a very cool way. So it seems like it's just a really solid genre for this kind of stuff to be kind of reimagined in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So let's just kind of get into it. And now you guys kind of hinted to meeting each other. I assume this was kind of before you started even working on the Geomagic track at all. Maybe Owen or whoever can kind of tell me of like the roots of how this all got started and how you guys met each other.
Well, the story behind how me and Landon met is classified. And I met Paulo. I met Paulo off of Reddit when I was looking for a guitar player for one of the Geomantic tracks. Then and then Paulo just sends me this phenomenal recording, which is a guitar in a Via. And then I'm just like, hey, I've got this this piano reduction to Untold Legends. Do you think you can make something with this? And he just sends me a demo, and I'm like, oh my God, this is great.
Well, and you originally had an idea that you were thinking maybe this could work on an acoustic guitar or a nylon string guitar. And I'm listening to it, and I'm going, this thing has some like to it. I mean, it's just. There's like this metal version just waiting to burst out. Yeah. When I was listening to the track and then looking at the score that he sent me, in my head, I immediately heard just this really massive wall of sound kind of a thing with just not necessarily like a dueling shredding electric guitars thing, but definitely something more metal, something more high energy rather than something that was like, it seemed more as soon as when the track was finally done that doing a classical version or a piano version would have been more of a cover based on an original metal version. So it's almost like they happened opposite of each other. But he sent me this stuff, and I'm thinking this needs to just have, I feel like this has something else. So I just lay down a real basic drum groove to help keep the tempo and the vibe for the whole thing. And then just worked out how the different parts would be played on a particular guitar, how the parts would be stacked together, and just kept going and kept going. And I sent it to him kind of like, I kind of just took a few liberties here and there. I mean, you can let me know what you think. And it was just all caps, I absolutely love this. And I was like, yes.
Great.
I'm the kind of person that, you know, being someone who's up on a platform in front of people, I gravitate towards seeking approval from people. It's just something that, you know, whatever it is.
And this was all through Reddit, because I always try to avoid Reddit. Everyone's like salty over there.
It started like the connection happened in Reddit because he had the post there, was looking for a guitar player, and I'm like, hey, I play guitar. I'll see what he's looking for. And he just had this real simple but beautiful thing, and I was so struck by the orchestration that he had done, how everything was layered together, themes that I recognized. And a lot of themes I didn't, because I never played D1. I was completely unfamiliar with any of the music from D1. But I could tell that Owen just has this tremendous knack for putting different pieces of music together. And I was able to take that concept that he had for the Untold Redux and give it this, long hair, windmill, headbanging metal spin. And he just freaking loved it. So it's like, yeah, cha-ching, so yes!
That there are two themes that are going to come out of this tonight, okay? The first one is, with the sole exception of Letitia, none of what you hear on the final album was what I originally planned it to be. Absolutely none of it. And the second theme you're going to notice is, I'll make something that's all right, and I send it to Paulo, and he makes it great.
Oh, well, it's great. Yeah, how we can work with each other then. That's what we're here for. I mean, if I didn't have Sin, I wouldn't have a podcast, because I'm too lazy to do the editing.
But,
I can't find the record button.
Oh, man. Well, even just to step back even one quick small step, this collection, this album, quote, of Geomantic, for the uninitiated, how would you just describe it to someone of what this is if someone's never listened to it before?
So the way I like to describe it is that it's this multi-genre cover album of mostly the so if you look at like the Music of Destiny Volume 1 vinyl box that the Bungie put out, like it's almost all music that comes from places in that, right? So like you've got like like the themes in there that are just repeated throughout like the three discs that are on that album. So you've got disc one, which is Music of the Spheres and the Destiny original soundtrack. And so, you know, like you have all these really cool themes in there, right? Like there are some themes in there that are from The Rose that are also repeated in, say, The Warmind, or in, or how they use the ecstasy in like Untold Legend and All Ends Are Beginnings. And so I'm just like, you know, there are some really powerful themes here that, like, if you listen to that album, you hear them heard in such a variety of ways. And so, to me, Geomantic is like taking the variety that those melodies and those pieces can provide, and just turning it up to 11, right? So we've got like some metal, we've got some electronic music, we've got some orchestral music. I mean, we've even got a harpsichord track, for God's sake.
I listened to it all. It's great. I do like the variety. And I think I read somewhere that you posted, or I can sure some people imagine, like, okay, what were your thoughts when you're like, okay, is this going to appeal to like a lot of different people, because there's something everyone enjoys, or will some people just be like, I don't like these tracks? And then so they kind of just don't think about it as much. I mean, I think it was the variety.
So when we started like thinking about this project, and before it was even Geomantic, it was originally titled, you know, something or other, we kind of took we kind of took the idea of what the audience wants and kind of chucked it out the window. This is really just a reflection on the music, and that's important. Like we really wanted to focus on the themes and bring out kind of, you know, it's called Geomantic Ruminations on Destiny. We wanted to ruminate on those themes and really see what we could do to modify them, to help express how we felt through these themes. And, you know, that's part of why, like, you know, there was no real advertising for it. We did it all completely pro bono. No fees of any sort, or like people don't have to pay to access the music. It's all Creative Commons, which means people can take this music and they can use it in their videos. Like the whole trying to please was kind of at the back. We were really just trying to do right by the music.
Yeah. And to go off of what Landon was saying real quick about, like, you know, like building some stuff off of how these themes make us feel. Like, you look at the opening track specifically, Via, right? Like that's mostly an original composition. And so, but that's where the whole, you know, it's not even a cover album. It's a rumination album, right? Like that track was me, and then later Paulo just sort of like ruminating on how these themes made us feel. And that's a sort of, you know, it's just stuff like that that's interesting, right? Like, or like you listen to The Union, but you know, either excerpt from the union, you know, when you're doing the Black Garden fight or like on the vinyl or whatever, you know, just listen to it. Or if you, or by the way, to add on that, the Video Games Live recording, phenomenal.
Yes, everybody mm-hmm. should check that out. Video Games Live has done a recording of the union in, what's the quality, Owen, that you can get it at?
2496.
It is, that's a borderline religious experience listening. Yeah. I highly recommend everybody seeks it out. But go ahead.
But it's just like, and I see this is where things sound like I planned it, but the Kinyunkyo, which is the union cover, that was not going to be a metal track. That was going to be something totally different.
Surprise.
But yeah, so once I got Ryan Abundo involved, who was the guy who did two of the guitar tracks, we were talking to him and we were just like, we were talking about like what tracks we thought would feel like they belonged on the guitar. And the union just really worked for that, because it's like, you know, when you're listening to it, you feel like your blood is pumping, you know, like mm-hmm. you feel like you're in a huge battle and it's got like these huge climactic moments. And it's just like this flows to the guitar. And so really, you know, the album is about that sort of stuff, right? It's not about mm-hmm. like, oh, well, you know, this type of... Yeah, if we did what was popular, we wouldn't have done a harpsichord track. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to sound... This is going to sound super emo, but it's... I keep going back to this phrase in my brain. It's... I see it as, again, as someone who didn't experience D1 firsthand, I feel like I've been participating in this love letter that was written to the score of D1, because whenever Owen has shown me like the original versions of these tracks from the soundtrack, I'm just, good grief, they're just phenomenally composed, they're phenomenally performed, and he's taken that inspiration and given it a twist and is kind of shifting everything around in order to communicate how the music makes him feel. And it's just been a way for us to contribute. You know, you have all these phenomenal drawings and digital art pieces that I see the guys and gals in the D2 community sharing on Reddit and Twitter and everything. And there's not a lot of music. There's not a lot of audio. And I feel like this is meeting something that people kind of take for granted, because you have these phenomenal scores, you have these phenomenal pieces of music, and for them to just kind of sit there is like it's there, but there isn't quite enough attention for it. But it also, there is kind of a quote unquote market for it, because there aren't as many people doing reimaginings of the music. People are doing reimaginings of their characters, of things that they've created from the ground up. So to experience that in this way, with the music, it's just that different medium. It's what people are experiencing with their ears. And we put out a couple of the tracks as little feelers from time to time before the official release. And overall, the response was always, holy crap, are you guys going to have more of this kind of stuff? And we're like, yeah, it's going to be really, really eclectic, but there is going to be something for everyone, because it just shows that each of us, we've got various tastes. I love the metal stuff, but I love the indie rock stuff. I love the synth wave stuff. I love classical. I love classic rock. I mean, just all these different things. And we can kind of boil down this art, this music with a different interpretation with how it's making us feel and what we're experiencing through it, and then recreating that and putting that out there so other people can experience it as well. Mm. Did that make any sense at all?
It's perfect.
Yes.
Okay. I agree 100%. No, thank you so much. And we do need more of this. So hopefully you guys continue. Other people continue making more reimagining of this music.
There's more.
Okay. So, and yes, we'll talk about that. Yes.
Yeah.
just to tease, okay?
Oh, yes.
You haven't even heard 50% in terms of runtime.
This is like, true.
Good.
This final product could be 2 hours long for all I know. Like, we're just gonna keep making stuff,
and that's without the additional bonus commentary.
Yeah, but yeah, the music in Destiny is great. I mean, I've played a lot of games, and when I try to remember the music, I'm like, yeah, it was nice, whatever. I don't really, it wasn't necessarily distracting, but, and maybe just because I play Destiny so much, but like, I really have like strong memories of parts in the game, like Journey, the Kronos Quartet, or like doing Absolutely. The raid of the Last Wish and the Vault.
Oh yeah, that's a phenomenal track. That
I mean, we used to have that as people that know our podcast. That used to be our intro and outro music, and I've changed it recently. But it just gets you pumped up and like excited and stressed at the same time. Are we going to pass the encounter? And then that's in that music is just ingrained, you know, just cut into your brain of like. Remembering that, but
there really is only a handful of games out there that do that. It's like I could almost count the number of games that I've played that the score, the soundtrack still sticks with me for one reason or another. For you know, like I remember the original BioShock, certain triggers in there with plot lines and how just. Like you said earlier, the tension, the way that the tension would be built up, even though there's been a bit of controversy about the composer from it, Skyrim is an unbelievably timeless soundtrack.
Yeah, I agree with both.
It's crazy good. Mm-hmm. And Destiny is just that additional one because you have just the different vibes and the different feels for each of the seasons. Because again, just going from the D2 perspective that I have, each of the seasons has this different vibe and experience, but there's always this common thread that goes through where you hear it and you pretty much know that's Destiny 2.
Yeah.
That's where that's coming from. And it's that timeless factor.
And that actually reminds me of something else, like another pillar of this project. So like what's crazy about the coherence of the Destiny soundtrack is that there's like 15 different composers who have worked on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like Marty O'Donnell, Michael Salvatore, Sky Lewins, C. Paul Johnson, Stan Lepard, Peter Schlosser, you know, like all these different people, you know, like Rhoda Mauve, I think I'm saying that right, Rhoda Mauve, or Michael Sechrist, you know, all these people, but all sounds coherent and like it's like this one collective vision.
Hmm.
And, you know, I know a lot of people like to, for example, say that, oh, Michael Salvatore is such a brilliant composer. But really, it's all of them together when they come together that makes like the secret sauce, you know, this Destiny gravy, as they call it.
Mm-hmm. Our powers combine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like one of my favorite parts about Geomantic is that each track was worked on by at least two or more of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really fair to say, like, oh, well, I did such a good job on Vaia, because, you know, Paulo did some phenomenal work on that. Or, you know, like, you know, Chris Norton did such a great job on Letitia. Landon here, he added some textures under that.
Kind of cleaning that up and mixing it and, like, God, man, that guy is so good.
Oh,
yeah, he's a brilliant piano player.
That's a treat. If you can listen to his other material, it is.
Yeah,
bang.
He's a phenomenal pianist.
Seriously.
But, go on.
And how long did this? I do want to kind of go through the track list real quick to make sure I have the pronunciations correct. And so you guys can give a little synopsis of each one. But how long did it take approximately to put all this together?
I actually right. did the math, I calculated the exact number of days.
Well, don't keep us hanging.
451 days from the first ever asset I made for this album to the final mix and the final track was 451 days.
And it kind of came together in like the last 2 months.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much,
like,
yeah.
But like 2 months prior to launch, completely different sounding album, tonally, like different pieces included that didn't quite make it. It's one of those things that it fell together, and then when it did, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad it did come together and glad it got released. So, and that was it in December, I believe? I think I first saw. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. December 21st, right?
Yep, 12/21.
Yeah, the 25th anniversary of Marathon.
Yeah, I like the old school Bungie games.
Yeah.
Marathon. Well, let's kind of go through this, the tracks that we have, and I've listened to them all, and I kind of have a couple comments on ones that I like, but I'm curious if you guys have any like behind the scenes info or cool things that we may not know as a general public listening to these. So
or
if you guys have favorites, right? No, would that be like too hard to ask, right? Because you love them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Vaya is my favorite, but that's just because I worked on it for 13 months.
There we go, right out of the gate.
Yeah, I worked on Vaya for 13 months. And we're actually redoing it a little bit. We're going to redo the performance, and we're not even done.
Yeah, there's going to be a version 2.0, basically.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This will be like version 9.0 Vaya. Of all the tracks, I think Vaya went through the most transformative experience.
Yeah.
From you're right.
Well, and that's the first track, right? So let's start with that. Yeah. So Vaya.
Yeah, Owen, definitely talk about the original version of that track and how the current track kind of eventually became that.
So the track that we call Vaya now was a completely different track that wasn't even really part of Geomantic that I started in November 2018, right? And it was going to be called Never Forgot. And Vaya, the old Vaya, was this completely different track, which admittedly wasn't very good. But I spent a lot of time on it, and I'm proud of it for what it is. But it wasn't what it needed to be. It just wasn't there, and I didn't know how to get it there. And so because they both used the same melodies, right? So like if you listen to Vaya as it is now, you know, like if you listen to the flute and the English horn, it's actually playing melodies from the Destiny soundtrack. And so I was working on that track, Never Forgot, just as a side project. And I'm like, you know, this really belongs in Geomantic. And so it was going to be the original Vaya, then it was going to go through the album. Then that Never Forgot track was going to be like Vaya Reprise.
And I just remember hearing a demo and being like, this has got to be it. Like, this has got to be that track.
So Landon was actually the one when I sent him an early version of the entire album, and he listens to it from start to finish. He says, you know, this Vaya Reprise is like the best track on here. You should open with this. And I thought about it more, and I'm like, yeah, I kind of agree.
Granted, to be clear, we're still years out here. So, like, at this point, every track is in demo stage or, like, half-made.
So, at that point, the track that the version of Letitia that I sent Landon was, like, a piano, like, a phone recording of the piano that Chris Norton had sent me. So like it, that was way out. And believe it or not, Letitia was one of the first tracks that was like recorded. Mm-hmm. So this was like, God, this must have been like early 2019, probably.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very early.
So like a whole year out from shipping. And so,
well, then tell us really quick, is there a method to the order that you chose? I mean, a lot of times it doesn't matter for some groups, but
there is a method to the order we chose. It, for at least for the first seven tracks, it had to be in that order. There was no other order it could have gone in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll say this, it has to do with why it's called Geomantic. You should look into that if anyone's listening.
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Sin, our research assistant, will get right on that.
Yeah.
Hashtag furious Done. Typing on Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to it all, but I admit I don't know as much about what Geomantic means or the order.
I don't think anybody does. That's why I love it.
Owen likes to have all these little secret things that are, again, because with the whole thing about it being like his love letter to Destiny, because a lot of it is he hasn't let us see. There's a lot of the letter that's redacted to the to even us guys working on it with him.
Yeah.
Excellent. So there is a method to the order, and obviously, some songs were or some tracks were created before others or whatever. But we have Via. And then anything else to add about that?
That's a couple more things to add. But by the way, you can pronounce it via or via. If you want to be correct, the correct Latin pronunciation is via. Like, because it translates to the way, so like via way. That makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
But we usually just say via because via sounds weird in all honesty.
yeah, that's probably the least way that anyone would think to pronounce it.
Yeah, exactly. So a big inspiration for me was on Via was the Halo Reach track We Remember.
So I
wanted this to be like, yeah, Paula remembers me talking about when I'm talking about the guitar.
And I remember the piece now because I played Reach for a long time.
Yeah.
Man.
So, what was interesting was I completely lost my train of thought. So I just kept trying to add stuff over and over again to Via, right? And I wanted it to be like, you know, like, you know, like We Remember is like the supplementary sort of track to, and the way I look at it, it's like supplementary to the track Never Forget from Halo 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like that's like the main sort of like nostalgic track, but like We Remember is supposed to be like that, but for Halo Reach, supposed to serve that same sort of purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted for Via to be like what We Remember is to Never Forget. I wanted Via to be like the version of that for Destiny. With Remembrance from the Taken King being like the iconic Never Forget, and then Via just being like this like separate thing that's like sort of fulfills that same sort of purpose, but it's a different piece with different stuff in it. And so one thing that I really wanted to do that I wouldn't have been able to do without Paula was I wanted to have like an electric guitar in there. And so when I met Paula, that was the first thing he did was he performed that guitar for me. And then I'm like, and then after we did Untold Redux, or might have been before, I'm like, hey Paula, do you think you could just mix this in for me?
Oh, it was before Redux.
Yeah.
Because I remember you sent that to me, and I remember thinking that the string patches, the string parts were, I mean, they sounded good, but they still sounded...
No, they didn't.
Like, they sounded like, well, because they sounded pretty good, but they still very much sounded like a synth.
Yeah.
Like not an actual string quartet. And because of the work that I do at my church and some of the other production stuff that I've done, I've amassed some plugins that allow me to, that just have been really, really well sampled. And so I think I mentioned, hey, you know, I've got some good string patches. Would you mind if I take a stab at recreating those with these so it sounds a bit more natural? And he said the same thing about the piano. So I ran those parts through my plugins and did a little bit of tweaking here and there in order to find the best vibe, the best energy for it. And it just started to really come alive after that, because we were using better quality sounds at our disposal to make the experience of the music that much more real and that much more just like it actually was alive and had some breath going into it.
Yeah. And so another cool thing that Paulo did was, I had wanted to add some sort of percussion or drums to it for a while. And Paulo just says, oh, by the way, I added this percussion. I'm like, oh my God, yes, this is it.
And it was always with that, you know, if you like it, great. If not, it's okay.
Yeah, what I love about working with Paulo is that he just somehow knows exactly what I'm going for without me even telling him. And so he just builds it, and I'm like, how did you know I wanted this?
That's
it's kind of become what my role has been. I've it's part of the whole producer approach that I take to things is I listen to stuff that people have created, and my brain is just... What's funny is what my resting face looks like when I'm listening to new stuff is I look like I really don't like it at all. Like I hate it. And people are like, oh, you don't like it, do you? And I said, no, I'm concentrating really hard because my brain is going crazy thinking about all the possibilities with this.
Yeah.
So that's just, everything just starts to, it's like an avalanche in my brain of what could this potentially be? How could I help Owen or whoever I'm working with create this piece even further to make it the best that it can be.
Yeah, and he just does phenomenal stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so the last thing I'll say about Via is, hey, Paolo actually sung some Latin lyrics for it. You should try to figure out what he's saying.
it's buried pretty far back in the mix as a bit more of a texture, and I think I was getting over being sick when I recorded it. So it's not my best vocal performances, but they were pretty good. I think it came out pretty well.
Oh, that's excellent. All right, track two, how do you pronounce that?
Conjunctio.
I was going to do a different use.
Yeah, sounds like a sounds like a Harry Potter spell.
Oh, and you got to let them try.
I know. Should I try? Well, you I was tell just going to say conjunctio, but yeah,
conjunctia.
And this is one of the few like heavier tracks, right?
Yeah, it's a metal version of the Union.
Oh, is this the this is the fast one, right? The
That one is crazy fast. Like, for the musicians out there, it's like if this was in 4/4 instead of 6/8, it would have a tempo of 2:25.
It'd be flying.
Wow. that's quarter notes, by the way, 2:25. So like if it was like eighth notes, it would be like 400 something.
Yeah, it's fast.
It's very fast.
This one was Ryan Abundo, right?
Yeah, Ryan Abundo.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, so the actual arrangement of this track was done by me and someone named Hafet Meza. He's he's someone in the Halo community, actually. He makes some fan orchestrations for Halo. So like he did the soundtrack for single player version 3, and he's currently doing the soundtrack for the game Installation 01.
Nice.
So back in July of 2016, we were going to do some Destiny stuff together, and we did a version of the Union. And believe it or not, some of that stuff, like in terms of the MIDI data and the notes that he had arranged, I actually was able to reuse some of that all these years later.
Hmm.
And so when Ryan Abundo got involved, he was like the first person I actually reached out to about doing Geomantic. Because
when did we call him? We just looked up those dates. We called him in like, let me pull it up real quick.
Yeah, we actually have dates of when everyone got involved. Ryan Abundo, I emailed him on August 29th, 2018.
Yeah, so
about doing some work for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was like the first.
Yeah, he was the first guy we got on board.
But go on. Didn't mean to derail you.
Yeah, no, it's fine. So we talked extensively about which tracks he was going to do. Like we talked about him doing like the Path or the Ecstasy, he never would have done the main Ecstasy cover because that was always going to be on piano. I would have found a way to do that on piano, and we'll get to that later.
It's a metal version of the Union. If that isn't enough to get you in the door, I don't know what is.
Yeah, well, it's literally.
Hype. It's fun.
Yeah. So he's a pretty busy guy. He actually did the track Rubaeus. That's how you say that, by the way, is Rubaeus.
I've been saying it wrong all these months.
Spoiling.
Yeah. He did that one first before he did Conjunctio. And so when he ends up doing Conjunctio, I just sent him the arrangement, and he just that me and Hafet had done, which I'd actually worked on that arrangement for over like the last 2 or 3 years before I sent that to him, because I just kept working on it after Hafet and I quit working on it together. So that track has stuff that dates like years and years back. If you want to look through all my files for it. Yeah, that's just pretty crazy to me. But so he just did a phenomenal job doing a metal version of it.
Yeah, he did. So good.
And I sent it to Paulo to see if he wanted to add anything, and Paulo added this really cool bass part too.
When you originally, I think you originally sent it to me because you wanted me to replace the drums on it with the drums that I had because you loved the sound of the drums that I sent you for Untold Redux.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to it and going, man, these drums are just banging. I don't want to do a thing to these.
Yeah.
If I try to do anything with it, I'm just going to ruin it. But I noticed when I was listening to it, there's no bass guitar in this. And so I said, hey, is there bass in this? And he went back and checked and said, I don't think there is. And I'm like, do you mind if I take a stab at it? And he goes, sure. The problem I ran into is it was so fast that I was reaching the limits of my capacity of speed and accuracy as a bass player. So I went to waves.com and found that Waves they had recently released a new plugin called Bass Fingers that was an incredibly well done sampled bass guitar plugin with nuances and different articulations, slides up and down the neck, a couple of harmonics, things like that everywhere. And I'm like, this is phenomenal. And it was on sale for like $19 or something. So I got that and then just basically took the kick drum. I took the drum MIDI and took mostly the kick drum track and use that to kind of mold together what the bass part should be and try to, like, listening to the guitars and figuring out, okay, how should the bass be approaching it and following. There was this little middle section where it's just the guitar by itself doing this 1-5-8-5-1-5-8 pattern thing. And I'm like, this needs like a call and response thing. So I did the bass as like an echo to that and was just doing all this stuff. And I sent it back to Owen, and he's like, This finally feels complete now. This finally feels finished.
Oh, excellent.
I think that's about all we have to say about Conjunctio.
Okay.
It's a banging track. It's so fun.
It is, yeah.
Gosh, it's so good.
Fun one. Track three, is that pronounced Amicio?
Hey, you got it. Yeah, it's Amicio.
Well done, sir.
I like this one a lot. Tell me about this one.
Okay. So this track has a history.
This one's been through various iterations as well.
Tell me you noticed this, right? That track is split up into like an A section and a B section, right? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Even if I hadn't seen that written somewhere, it seems, I mean, I wouldn't say like it's disjointed or anything, but yeah, it has a different feel, you know, kind of a different.
So what do you think of that B section?
I don't know what to say. I like it all. I do like the musical elements of the A section. Probably appeals to me a little bit more, but yeah.
Yeah, so that B section actually didn't exist until in anything at all until like a month and a half before we shipped Geomantic.
Okay.
there was like an entirely different B section and a third section, or like a reprise of the A section at the end. And it was like this 5 minute long thing. And Ryan Colflash, who some people might know him as a Neptune EDM. He has a YouTube channel where he makes like 8-bit remixes of all the Destiny music. So he actually got me a transcription of that part of the Ruin. We actually reverse engineered a video that Marty O'Donnell had posted to his YouTube channel because it actually shows the piano roll. And we actually arranged it off of his piano version. And so then I took the piano MIDI and I built that B section because I thought it would be a better fit for what I wanted. I was a lie. That's my favorite part of the Ruin, and I insisted we have it no matter how bad it sounded, and so I made it sound good because I wouldn't get rid of it.
Yep,
that works. Yeah,
and it became this. Go ahead, Owen.
What's interesting is the Ruin was actually one of those tracks that just took forever to figure out what to do with it, which, you know, it. I'm sure you can imagine, like, you don't just listen to that track and think, you know what this needs to be an EDM track. You know, nobody thinks that when you listen to that original, like, music. And which is part of why Amicio is actually one of my favorite tracks, just because I feel like it's a really novel take on the original piece.
Mm-hmm.
But what one of the original things I tried with it was in a chiptune, like an NES version of it. And I actually still have that file somewhere too. And before it was going to be a chiptune version, I was like conceptualizing. This didn't go very far, but I was conceptualizing like a classical guitar version of the Ruin. And I'm glad we didn't do that, because I just don't think that would have been anywhere near as good.
And you ended up with a because I remember you sent me a. Well, part of it was I had sent you a link to my SoundCloud, and I've been working on this synthwave project since mid to late 2018. I need to get back to it and try to finish it for myself.
Yeah.
But I sent you that, and then you came back to me and said, hey, I have this track I think I would really like for you to try with your synthwave sounds and everything with this track. And it was this Emisio, so I like pumped it through and just shifted some things around and tried with different sounds and tried different approaches, and it just got this really cool 80s synthwave vibe to it after that.
Yeah, and eventually, I will say this, we want to eventually release a version of this track that's like the original way it was intended, with like the original B and C sections. It's something we might consider doing for the bonus album. I'm not committing to very much for the bonus album this will be on there, I promise. But that's something we're looking into, is like the Emisio that was going to be. You know, this is a cool, like, you know, that this is what we were going to do, you know?
Yeah, I gotcha. And yeah. I love the synth, so anytime there's more synth, I'm down for that. I mean, I like a few different styles on this compilation, but yeah, I like this one for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Is that good on that one? The next one, it's either Fortuna or Fortuna Minor.
Fortuna Minor.
I usually say Fortuna, but it actually technically should be Fortuna.
I like this one a lot also. Tell us about this one.
So the second person we got on board for Geomantic, his name is Aaron Phillips. And we had talked, and I talked with him early on about doing a lot of different stuff as well. Like he was at, before I found Chris Norton, he was actually going to do the piano version of Ecstasy for Letitia. And so I had actually been working on my own version of that he was going to like play. And I still have that file as well. I still have all the original versions of these pieces. But so he comes to me and he says, because he was getting his master's in music composition at the time in Oklahoma. Also, fun fact, he currently lives under an hour away from me. We're actually going to meet up a week from today and work on more Geomantic stuff in person. That's going to be fun.
Nice.
But so he comes to me and he says, you know, I have this college project where I need to make a concert band piece. And I was thinking, you know, maybe if I did the Tribulation, that might work really well for this. And I'm like, and that would be a chance for us to actually record a live version of it. Yeah, that the live version thing didn't actually work out because it was performed live. It's just the cables were messed up, so the recording was unusable. I'm still pretty upset about it, actually.
I remember that. That was a sad day.
Yeah,
there was getting that news was not good.
Yeah, for real. He actually still has a recording of what he took from his phone. I still need to hear that, actually. Maybe next Sunday, a week from today, I'll hear it, and I can report back. Anyway, so I'm just like, yeah, this would be great. Let's do a concert band version of the Tribulation. And so thankfully, me and Ryan Colflash, who I'm going to mention several times throughout tonight, I'm sure, me and him had actually prepared a transcription of the entirety of the Tribulation. And so I sent him that, and it was just super easy for him to just start pulling stuff and messing with it. And he made a piano reduction, which I also still have. And so it was like for two pianos, and it was just what he was gonna like extend to cover all the instruments in the concert band. And so he spent like about a month or so on that, and the final product ended up being really cool, in my opinion. I'm really sad that we didn't get to do the live performance, especially since like the concert band that we were working with had a piccolo trumpet, and the brass player and me which since I'm a brass player, I'm like, I'm so excited. Like, oh my God, we get to write for a piccolo trumpet. And I was sad that we didn't get to use a live piccolo trumpet. That was like, that's one of those things I was super excited about. So I actually ended up doing, Aaron wrote and arranged it, and I actually did most of what you're actually hearing. Like, I actually did like the virtual instrument performance of it. And then, Landon made some modular synthy stuff that we put under the brass, and it sounded really cool and really like eerie.
Yes. The technical synthy stuff.
Yeah. And so,
go on. Sorry, I keep derailing you.
Yeah. And so that was where that came from, was Aaron T. Phillips, Aaron Thomas Phillips. And, Aaron actually also helped me orchestrate a lot of the sheet music scores that we made, which exist but will not be released.
Oh man,
there's a legal story there somewhere. But
there's a whole story there. Anyway, that's about it for Fortuna Minor.
All right, the next one. I already forget. So is it Rubius?
Rubaeus.
You're close. Thank you.
You were close.
See, I forgot the spoiler. Yeah. So I said it wrong.
Yeah. So this was the first track that Ryan Abundo did. I really didn't I don't think anyone here was really too heavily involved in that one.
No, he just killed it. And that's the end of the story.
Yeah, let's go with that.
You did ask me to redo.
Paulo redid the drums. Put the drums through it. Superior drummer.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I actually remixed it a little bit. Like to bring some of the bass stuff up. Other than that, yeah, that was all Ryan Abundo. He just did a phenomenal job. I wish Ryan could have been here. Actually,
yeah, same.
Well, I think you guys for giving the shout out on that, and we'll definitely.
Yeah,
him also.
I forgot to mention, for correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan Abundo actually has a super popular Destiny guitar mod. It's like over 100,000 views, if I remember correctly. It was way back in the Destiny 1 days. And Bungie actually, you guys know like how Bungie did like that Destiny Year 1 compilation video on their YouTube channel, right? Like Ryan Abundo's Destiny guitar medley was actually in that Bungie video.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right on.
So I actually helped him do like his Destiny 2 guitar medley, and I'm actually making him a logo like right now, and we're hopefully gonna work on some more stuff together. He's a super cool guy, and I'm always super excited to see if I can help him with whatever he's working on.
Excellent.
Yeah, he's a wonderful
guitar player.
Yeah, phenomenal guitar player. I think that's about it for Rubaeus.
All right, the next one, Letitia, was that it?
Yeah, Letitia.
You're like, yeah, sure. Anyways, I like this one a lot also.
This one's Letitia's
pretty magical.
Do you want to talk about that, Landon? Or?
Yeah.
Letitia, I mean, how you call it magical.
It really is. I remember getting that recording, sitting down, you know, setting up the hi-fi, making sure everything's right, and just giving that a listen, man, chills. Such a good track. Same. So that track was another track that basically went very closely unedited. I mean, I cleaned up the original a little bit. I didn't take out any of the characteristic blemishes. Like, when someone's playing piano live, there are certain sounds you hear where, like, you know, if you remove those, it kind of removes like the authenticity of the piece.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So really, you know, I whipped up some synthy stuff. We'll put that in the quotes. Just some stuff to kind of complement that, but nothing that really overtakes the track. You can listen to that track and not hear it at all, to be quite honest. Mixing that up was a treat. And that's about it.
The one other thing I will say, just as another shout out, Letitia is a piano track, and like the anniversary of the inspiration was actually 5 years ago. Was made 5 years ago, as of 2 days ago. My friend Desiree, who I've known for many years now, she got her sort of start with where she is now off of a piano cover of the Ecstasy. And so I really wanted to have Letitia be a piano track. It's like, you know, like I feel like that this just fits, you know, it's like a homage to Desiree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of these tracks, like we can say all we want about them, but when you listen to them, you'll hear the intent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not with Carcer. I'll say that.
That is a wild ride.
That is up next. And please tell us about Carcer.
Carcer took the longest idea to figure out what the hell we were doing with this, right? Like, so hold on. So we've got like this piano stuff. We've got this orchestral stuff. We've got some metal stuff. You know, we've got concert band. What do we do for this?
At one point, Carcer was a very technical, modular, industrial song.
Yeah.
As opposed to...
There's a harpsichord.
The harpsichord. Yeah. So, again, sorry for derailing you. Continue.
Yeah, and I actually never even got to hear that. I want Landon to find the file.
After hearing that demo, that died as soon as it was created.
I still want to hear it, though.
We quickly moved on to better ideas.
Yeah, so I tried doing this like sort of like something that was very similar in spirit to the original track. It was just like some of my own orchestral sounds and takes on that original orchestral performance, and I don't think I would be allowed to get too much into the specifics of this next story. But there is a story behind how I stumbled upon this track called "The Carman's Whistle" by William Byrd, and it was just this classical harpsichord piece. And you listen to it, and you're like, "I'm sorry, how did you turn this into this again?"
In the comments on YouTube, and I don't know that you probably didn't mean it to be this way, but someone said it sounded like spooky.
Yeah, I forgot to mention this was via, but all the tracks that I personally wrote had like a phrase or a word that it was supposed to encapsulate, right? So like the exact word was, I wanted Carcer to sound unsettling.
Okay, that makes sense.
And you succeeded.
Yeah, I would hope so. And my friend Morgan Navisky suggested I add an organ to it, and so I did that. And so, yeah, so that's sort of the story behind where the harpsichord and the organ came from. There's some spooky sounds in there, like I have some solo violin patches that are playing like 256 notes, just random notes that says 256 notes. And so that's just lightly under it as like a texture, just to give you this unsettling vibe. And I also made a minute loop of some Mark Tree samples. Google Mark Tree. You'll know what it is if you look at a picture of it. And I basically heavily processed and I reversed them and like distorted them and pitch shifted them. And it sounded really cool, like almost like wispy air. And so I'm just like, oh, this is perfect for Carcer. And so I just thought that it turned out really nicely. You know, I knew it was not going to be the most popular track on the album, just because like, oh, well, what has more mass appeal? A metal cover of The Union? Or, wait, I'm sorry, what's a harpsichord again? What?
I mean, I love it in The Beatles.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I know what it is.
Yeah. But
yeah, I get what you're saying. It's definitely a little bit different. There was an ending section
of that as well. There's like a last minute of that was orchestral. And I decided not to use that because it just didn't sound like it fit. especially once we added Siculum in there, which literally almost didn't happen. But yeah, like once we actually had a track after that, like Siculum, I'm just like, no, I don't need this. Because that last minute was sort of supposed to like the first 8 tracks via through Siculum is like the main like 8 Geomantic album tracks. And so when Siculum wasn't there, the last minute of Carcer was supposed to be like wrapping that up before you get to Untold Redux.
Okay.
And so once he got to come in there, I'm like, no, and then I just cut it. I just straight up cut it. Also, there was a whole bunch of extra fluff that I had in Carcer that didn't make it in. Like that there were some there was like some dissonant horns in there and some timpani and taiko drums in there, and there were some more string stuff. I'm like, no, this doesn't need this. It just doesn't need it. It wasn't supposed to be there. And yeah, it's basically the story of Carcer.
So what we have is what we get.
Yeah.
All right. Siculum? Sorry.
Siculum.
Siculum. Yeah. I like this one a lot also.
Yeah, that's the one I think turned out the best. Like I said, Via is my favorite track, but I think Siculum turned out the best in terms of like... I think that's probably actually the best track on there, personal feelings aside. Which is going to make what I'm about to say even crazier. So, until very, very briefly before the launch of the album, I was adamantly against having a track for The Hope.
This is true.
Because, actually, to tell you what, do some research into why... like I said earlier, do some research into why it's called Geomantic and like what that means in the context of what we're actually talking about here. And I think you'll understand why I didn't want to do a track for The Hope.
Our research assistant is on that, right, Sin?
Well, we can. There's a way to explain
it. I actually have it up on Google. I looked it up and I was trying to read the definitions. So I'm assuming you just want me to like basically see what the definition of geomantic is, right?
So each track is named after a geomantic symbol, and there's not a geomantic symbol for The Hope, by the way. So like each track in like the original Destiny soundtrack was based on a geomantic symbol, is what I mean as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, for example, the Union is called the Union because the geomantic symbol for Mercury is called Conjunctio. Conjunctio translates to the Union.
The naming of the original, what the Destiny soundtrack was based off of, which is Music of the Spheres, the names of those tracks are tied directly to the geomantic symbol that the tracks are inspired by, until you get to The Hope. The Hope technically is an addition to... Yeah. To that, so there is no geomantic symbol for it.
Yeah. And so since the album is based off of this geomantic symbol idea, I'm like, no, I don't think it makes sense to have The Hope. And so one day I was going through my old OneDrive files. Like I have a backup of like years worth of projects on my OneDrive. And I stumbled upon this arrangement that I had done of an unreleased Destiny track from Destiny 1. So, like, you just know, like, that fanfare intro that Briar Rabbit, does he still use it? Like, he used to use it as, like, his intro, right? With, like, the ship flying up to the tower for the first time. It's got, like, that, da 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 da. So I'd actually made an arrangement of that cutscene music, because I really like that melody. And so, I stumbled upon it. I started messing with like that arrangement in FL Studio, and I thought, you know, this could use some choirs, and so I added the choirs from The Hope, which is like that really like floaty boys choir that plays throughout the entirety of Siculum. That's a choir bit from The Hope, and so I tried adding that under that melody that from that tower cutscene music. And I'm like, man, this might be something. This is interesting. And so I'm like, you know what this almost sounds like? It sounds like something that would belong in the tower. And so I'm just like, you know, like, well, that just settles it, you know, because like we've got some battle music, we've got some piano music, like, but like the tower music is like this totally different vibe from the rest of the game, and I just wanted to have that accounted for on Geomantic. So I was really excited to have Seculum fill that role.
Well, we'll allow it.
Yeah.
Thanks for putting that in there.
I want to give a shout out to Paulo on that track. When we were when I was putting in the choir portion that he sings in that track, when we were mixing that in, man, that to me seals that track.
Yeah.
But again.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, and then Paulo also improvised some acoustic guitar over that.
Yeah, that's pretty sharp. That adds to the aesthetic.
Yeah, and he totally got the scale right, too.
Well, I didn't go through 4.5 years of music school for nothing.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I was like, hey, here, just play in Lydian with a flat 70. He's like, okay, here you go. And he plays the scale. And I'm like, this is great. This is so great. and you don't know, how did you do that, by the way, Paul? Because you didn't have a nylon string guitar.
That was my Larrivé LO3 acoustic and some trickery with microphone placement and additional trickery with EQ. That's all that was.
The great equalizer, some say.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
No. So speaking of trickery, so before Paulo actually sung that hope chant, right? Like the whole Una Merku. Before that was sung by Paulo, me and Landon actually had a version of that we had made using synthesized choir vocals.
Oh, dude, trying to like blend a bunch of like MIDI boys choirs together.
What I was proud of that is this, right? I'm like, there's no way I can make this sound like they're actually singing these words properly. So what I did was I made a version where it's all just the same symbol, right? Like the same syllable. And then I made a version where they were just singing like the consonants, right? It's like la, na, me, ku. And so we added Landon EQ'd and like mixed that on top of the same syllable. And the idea was that it was supposed to like almost auto-correct into your brain to the way you had heard the original from The Hope.
Be thankful that that was not the final version of the track.
I mean, it
wasn't
Paulo.
Bad.
It
was good, but what we have now is much better.
Yeah. And
again,
I also redid that those Hope Choir several times before. It turned out the trick to raise the higher frequencies by a whole bunch. That was a trick to get it to sound like that. And also like. Those boys choirs in Seculum that are in there still, you know, like the drone that plays throughout the entire thing, that's actually like 6 different choir patches and 6 different syllables that are just mixed at different levels to actually get that effect. That's not just one patch.
Yeah, and it really does work really, really nicely. That's a really great part about it. Like,
yeah,
I honestly thought you had gotten an actual choir to sing it because it was really, really nice texturally and was very natural sounding.
Yeah, I spent like 2 months on that choir sound. So something fun in there you probably don't hear is one of the choir samples, one of the syllables that's singing is actually a TH. It's like, yeah, but. It sounds a lot better when you hear the choir texture or like the patch I have for that. You'd see why I added it in, but you don't really notice it there. It's just an extra texture. Oh, and one other thing I did to fake the choir that I was pretty proud of was I basically recorded myself breathing in between each one of those phrases like 6 different times, right? So like in between each one of those phrases, 6 different unique breaths that I had recorded. Like I never repeated any of them, And so, and I just made it super quiet and like EQ'd it to make it sound like higher pitched. And then I like added a ton of reverb under it. And it just added that little bit of realism. I'm not sure if anyone can hear it, but it's there.
Ooh, I'll have to listen for that next time around.
Yeah. Just like, ooh, they just listen for like a breath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was me breathing.
I mean, that does add realism. I've been in choirs before myself too. So yeah, I'll have to listen for that next time.
Yeah. And, the one other thing was, I actually recorded some live wind chimes for that track as well. That you can kind of hear in there.
Yeah, he was telling me before we got started that he actually went and spent some good money on a really nice set of wind chimes to get the right vibe.
Oh, and I also, but back to Karth, that reminds me, that's actually a live church organ and a live harpsichord. I paid a dude on Fiverr like $100 to do that.
Nice. All right, well, let's. We have a couple more here. The next one, Untold Redux, is that how you guys pronounce it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And we talked about that at the very beginning of this conversation. I'll keep it brief. The reason I really wanted to have Untold Legends because like I was talking about before, like the Destiny themes really work well. And like they're strong melodically, and they can work well in a variety of places. And so to me, like Untold Redux is like the epitome of like how those melodies work well together, right? Because that track is like it uses melodies from four or five different like other Destiny tracks, right? Like it uses stuff from The Rose, it uses stuff from The Tribulation, it uses stuff from The Ecstasy, it uses stuff from The Hope, it uses stuff from Guardian, and it all fits into this 3-minute long package that's still super unique in itself, right? Like it's got this repeated D Dorian melody in it. And I'm just like, this is so cool that they were able to make such a unique track with so many callbacks and references. And I'm like, that this is exactly how you should be adapting themes. Like, and so I'm like, I want to do something with this. This is like, this shows exactly what I think I'm talking about here. And so, Paolo, do you have anything to add last minute about Untold Redux from your notes?
It was just really fun to do because the way that I approach everything, and I feel like the way that Ryan Abundo approaches his drum parts in particular is to, like, it's, they're not actual drums. I don't have any place to track a full drum kit. So using TuneTrack Superior Drummer 3, and because I am a drummer, I understand how a drummer would approach the parts. So it's programming them exactly as I would as a drummer sitting in actual at an actual kit. And then just there were a couple little spots here and there where I felt like there were some interesting but not quite working little bits and pieces here and there as far as melodies against some of the movement of the music in the background. And Owen was always really open-handed with everything, saying, hey, if something needs to be tweaked, if something needs to be adjusted, do it, try it. If we don't like it, we'll do something else. And the other fun part is the lead guitar with the wah pedal. That wah pedal was a virtual wah pedal that I operated with my mouse. It wasn't my foot on an actual wah pedal. It was tracking the whole thing and being like, this needs something else. So I put a wah pedal thing on there and then just added it, and we were good to go off to the races.
Yep. It's great. Love that track.
I would personally say that's one of my favorites.
Oh, it's a good one also. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to try to do some more metal stuff for the bonus album. That there's one track that I want to do, and then there's one track that a lot of people requested we do, and I'm going to try to do both of them. I think we should. We're going to try. I have both of them arranged. We just actually need to get the guitars and do it.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah.
What's all this one in a million talk?
Yeah. And then Geomantic, of course. That's the final track on it.
Just the synthy stuff, man.
Yeah, the synthy stuff. The background, the ambient music. I like how it has that description.
Yeah, so it's pretty ambient. It's pretty involved. People who listen to ambient wouldn't call it ambient, but it's whatever. It doesn't matter what it's called. I could it's made with a bunch of different synthesizers, some Eurorack in there, some other very technical terms that I will not bore you with. Basically, sound goes out of the machine into the computer. We save it as geomantic.wave, and it becomes the 10th track.
Hey, that's how we make our podcast. Sound comes out of Craig.
Hey, that's crazy. No, there's a like a lot of it's Eurorack. A lot of it is in the box, though. I've been trying to use FL for this project, so a lot of, you know, just contact synths, custom patches, lots of musical garbo. It's not as fun to talk synth as it is to talk instruments.
Yeah.
Any music people will tell you that. But
I like talking synth.
Well, that's different because you.
As long as we enjoy listening to it, that's
yeah,
that's what we're here for.
Yeah, basically, I wanted something that I spoke earlier about Destiny's vibe, and like I wasn't kidding when I said that Destiny to me has an aesthetic and an underlying tone that is different from almost any other media property. And I wanted to make a track that captures that. Because in the spirit of reflection, you know, everybody's that made these tracks are they're reflecting on their respective tracks. And I wanted something that reflected on that reflection, if you would. So that's kind of the inspiration for that. That went through some changes, but mostly just kind of happened.
the one other thing that that people should really understand about that 10th track is that sometimes the lucid melody seems to rise out of random noise.
Oh yeah, so like at like literally like at the last second we were like, hey, we should just whisper stuff.
Yeah,
and just throw it in there, and then people can find it and try to figure out what it says. So, like, yeah, I'm in there just whispering stuff. You can try to figure it out. You cannot, you know, just add some mystery. There's a lot of hidden stuff in that track. It just depends on how far you want to actually look at it. But you can go pretty deep. So if that's your thing, if you're a Raid Secrets guy and you want to go in there and figure out what I've placed for you, you're more than welcome to do that. But if you just want to throw it on in the background while you're like dusting your room or something, it's also also fits the bill.
Excellent. Well, we do need to start wrapping up for this evening, but I do have a couple other questions, but maybe before we get there, I would just like to hear from each person one more time in case anyone has to leave about just any last thoughts, enjoying working on the project, and then maybe your contact information. So let's start with Paulo. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm going to have to wrap up here very quickly. So I'm just looking forward to the continued geomantic experience, all the other content that we have coming out. For what it's worth, I'm on Twitter, Paulo Clayton. Instagram, mostly just music or silly pictures of my daughter. That's Paulo Guitarist. But yeah, I can be found on PS4, PauloMan80.
Hey, real quick, do you have a favorite dessert?
Ooh.
You can pick anything.
Dark chocolate.
We just like to ask people.
Dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate. Mm. We'll allow it.
That's a good pick.
Wait. Paulo, also, just for the record, what's your favorite track in Geomantic? Because I already know what Landon's is.
You don't have to answer that if you don't want.
I honestly don't know, but I appreciate you guys letting me be a part of this. So
hey,
I gotta
thanks
run,
for coming
so.
On, man.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers.
And as we go through our next two, any final thoughts that you have, also feel free and let us know if there's anything. You kind of hinted to it, but anything that you're working on that we might see in the future.
So, a lot.
Yeah, go ahead and let us know a couple things, and then you can kind of close out telling us your contact information and whatnot.
I feel comfortable talking about two of them because they're already done. There's this track that's inspired by The Great Unknown off of the Destiny 1 soundtrack. That track is called Unmoved, and it has a very similar, like, spacey, like deep synthy groggy vibe to it, and I'm really happy with that. It was something me and Paolo worked on. And something else me and Paolo worked on that Paolo did phenomenal work on was there's a 19 voice male choir version of Guardian that exists now. That for those who don't know, that's the title screen music from Destiny 1. Yes, yeah, so we have a choir version of that now. Paolo just I arranged it based off of a MIDI of it that Ryan Callflash had made and sent to me. And I arranged it for four or five choir parts, and Paolo just sung each one over and over again on top of each other up to 19 voices. And it just sounds phenomenal. I wish we could release it tomorrow, honestly.
Oh, well, we'll look forward to that too, for sure.
Yeah, sounds phenomenal. And we're also experimenting with like adding some stuff outside of vanilla Destiny 1. We're mostly looking at stuff from the Taken King right now. And
yeah, so in the works at the moment, there is specifically the Taken King track that I've been working on. It is an industrial metal darkness medley. And that combines themes from Regicide, most of like the Oryx thematics. So like if you go into the Taken King soundtrack, you'll hear a reoccurring kind of theme for Oryx and like the darkness. And it's real gritty. I'm working on kind of combining that into a very heavy, maybe not fast, but heavy metal track. And I think the only other thing that I want to confirm, there's a lo-fi version of a variation of the Guardian melody in the works. We're kind of experimenting with that, some pianos, yeah. Some trap sets. We'll see where that goes, but I think that's about all we want to talk about right now. Like, you've heard less than half of,
yeah, I'm sure.
of the material that we have.
Possibly even less than a third, if I'm honest.
So we'll definitely have to have you guys on again in the future, so that's that'll be incentive to get some more stuff out there.
The one other thing that I'm proud of was that this is the last thing I'll hint to was I actually wrote a collection of seven poems called Geomantic Revelations, and it's heavily inspired by like that Dreams of Alpha Lupi stuff from Destiny, and I wrote it very carefully with a lot of like references to what the music is talking about. I don't particularly expect anybody to put it under a microscope, but you can if you want to. It's very in-depth about what we're actually talking about and why things are the way they are in both the music and the poems, if you look into it.
Also, Alpha Lupi ARG got the geomantic symbols wrong. Don't at me.
Mm.
No, they literally did, though. The Alpha Lupi ARG uses the daytime symbols or the diurnal symbols. The correct symbols are the nocturnal ones. So, like, for example, on the Alpha Lupi raid has Populous, and it's supposed to have Via.
Okay.
As he adds me in the chat. Wow.
That's amazing.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Well, again, we'll have our crack research team do hours and hours of intensive research on that and get it right.
Yeah.
Or you could listen, like, we keep saying, like, why don't you look for this? Why don't you look for that? You can also, like, not do that. And it's just as well, as long as you're having a good time listening to music.
Yeah. Right on. All right. Well, boy, we would love to keep this conversation going, but we probably better wrap it up for the evening.
Yeah.
But we do want to hear each of yours contact information and a favorite dessert that you might have. And then we'll kind of take it from there. So we'll go reverse this time. And we already got Paolo, but go ahead and Landon, we can get your information.
You guys can Google Imbline. It'll probably all pop up. I'm at Imbline on like everything. Creme brulee. Gotta go with creme brulee. Little torch action.
That's
browning
the best
it,
on the
you
top,
know?
Right?
Yeah. That's good stuff. Thank you guys
Excellent.
For having me on.
Excellent. No problem.
I'm at Atlix Music on Twitter, Discord, and Reddit as well. I'm very active on r/Destiny the game. You'll probably see me around. That is ATLYXMUSIC at Lix Music. And my gamer tag on Xbox is just at Lix.
Thanks for spelling it. And yeah, we'll put it in our show notes also. And I was going to ask there also, like, what platforms you guys play on in case we ever run into you. So Xbox, it sounds like, right now.
Yeah, me and Landon here are Xbox, and Paulo's a PS4 guy.
Well, right. I play everywhere. So
you play everywhere. Okay.
Just depends on which platform you're on. I'm on that platform, so I'll play with anybody.
Feel free. Our Discord, you don't have to stay here, but our Discord, we have a combination of three, PS4, and PC, and Sin and I are on PS4 and PC. So
wonderful.
If you ever run across you, that'd be great.
Yeah, sounds good. Mm.
Well, thanks again for coming on. Did we get your dessert?
Oh, yeah. Chocolate chip cookies. Can't go wrong.
Chocolate chip cookies. All right. Didn't want to miss that. Didn't want to miss it.
Classic. Can't go
wrong. Do you like them crunchy or nice and soft?
Nice and chewy. Crunchy chocolate chip cookies are terrible.
Right. Unless it's...
I would agree with that.
Like the way I look at it is like this, right? If you're going to get chocolate chip cookies, don't do it wrong.
You don't want those old stale crunchy ones, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Or the ones that my son took one bite out of and put them back in the bag.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I do just want to quickly give one last shout out to the people who worked on Geomantic who could not be here due to scheduling stuff. Shout out to Ryan Abundo, who did the metal versions of The Union and The Rose. Shout out to Aaron T. Phillips, who did Fortuna Minor, which is a concert band version of The Tribulation. Shout out to Chris Norton, who did the wonderful piano version of The Ecstasy. And shout out to Ryan Colflash, who you may also know as Neptune EDM. He actually did a ton of work before we even started working on Geomantic. And we were just able to reuse a ton of stuff that he had already done for us. So he was super helpful just before he even really realized it. And,
And everyone, if you have not listened to this yet, stop listening to the podcast now because we're at the end. And please listen to their compilation of music.
Yeah, and I would say thank you guys for coming on.
Yeah,
I can definitely just like sitting back and listening to a lot of it. I can see how passionate everybody is about it, which is super cool. I'm not as musically inclined as some, but I can definitely hear it when you guys are talking about every single track and what goes into it. So awesome job and a fantastic job on all the tracks so far.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for coming on. Well, we'll just close out with our contact information and then take it from there. Sin, where can people find you?
You can find me in the club listening to Untold.
Yeah, that is true.
There you go. Or you can also find me on twitch.tv/SinMedia. Sin is C-Y-N. And over on Twitter at Sin_Media. Kingsley, strum that guitar and take us out.
Right on. You can find me as Kingsley Mac on PlayStation and on PC and on Twitch, where I stream occasionally when I raid. On Twitter, though, you can find me as MC Kingsley. You can find our show on Twitter as The Guardian Hub and our website to subscribe to our show. Among other places, you can find us at theguardianhub.com. Best hub on the net. Thanks, everyone, for listening in. Please check out this lovely compilation of music, and we wish everyone a good week and have a good night.